Well, good morning to you.
Good morning.
It is good to be in the house of the Lord today. It is good to see you. It is good to be here to anticipate worshiping Him in song and in hearing of the Word and reading of the Word and many other ways. But first, we must dispense with a few other things, announcements being one of those. If you are a guest here today, or it's your first time, or maybe it's not your first time and you've been before and you've never completed one of these, look in the pew behind you. And if you see a guest sitting near some of our members, pass one to them. Don't make it hard for them to find. We'd like to have information about you. And on the back, there's a long place there for prayer requests. So you may fill out either or both sides. We'd prefer both sides. And please pass that, turn it into the offering plate when it passes. And if it misses you, put it in the offering plate when the service is over, and we'll be sure to get it, and our pastors get it. And I assure you that they are looked at, read, and considered. So please be aware that those are in your pews. I want to go over a few things. I know you can read, and I know they've probably been up here, and they will be in your bulletin too. Sometimes they warrant a little bit of jogging your memory about things that are going on. So first of all, today we want to welcome Philip and Carol Shepherd as our minister of music, senior adults, worship pastor, song leader, worship leader, and all the things you want to call him. He'll do all of those things above, and we are glad they're here today. It is so good to have them with us. We have enjoyed our practice this morning, although that's been minimal. This evening at 6 o'clock, our service will consist of lessons and carols. I think you'll find that interesting. It is at 6 p.m. It is a good bit of scripture from the Old Testament into the New Testament, and a number of familiar carols that we know that we'll sing in with that. Won't you be mindful of that? Want you to make plans to join us Sunday evening, December the 10th, for our Christmas music that is called The Colors of Christmas, and it will consist of our adult choirs and children's choirs as well, and some drama and some reading of scripture. And want you to be present for that. Want you to also be mindful that afterwards, on the 10th, everyone is invited to join us in the fellowship hall for our annual Happy Birthday Jesus party. Cupcakes and drinks will be provided. However, there's always a thing. We need you to bring finger foods. And that's the thing we want you to be well aware of so that we have plenty for everybody who comes. But plan to attend both of those, and we would love for everybody to be here that can. So if I missed anything else in there. Okay. On December 17th, we will have a call church conference. That is to consider our budget. There's been a lot of work done on that already in the last 2 to 2.5 months. And a proposed budget for 2024 is available. Copies are in both vestibules in the back on your way out if you didn't see one on the way in. There also should be some copies over here, I believe, and have access to that. Look at it. If you have questions, keep those in mind. 17th, we'll have conference for that. That will be at 6 p.m. after the 6 p.m. evening worship service on the 17th. Also, as a part of that church conference, we will discuss or present to you possible sale of our Emmanuel Church property in Long County. Been working on that for quite a while and headed on the market, and we want to share that with you, and we will do that at that church conference meeting on the 17th. I believe, unless somebody can tell me different, that I finished with all the things I was required to do, and so glad you're here this morning. I want to welcome and ask David and Lisa Holland to come up. They're going to light our first candle of hope for the Advent season.
Good morning. Y'all look good out there. Glad to see you this morning. Today begins the start of the Advent season, the lighting of the candles, where we prepare for the second coming in commemoration of the birth of Jesus Christ, our Savior. I'd like to read from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 through 6. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressors. Every warrior's boot used in a battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Creator, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Now we'd light the candle of hope. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the opportunity to come together to worship you, giving you the honor and praise you deserve. Thanking for you for your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and the Holy Spirit who takes up residence in our heart. We ask that you would direct our ways here today. Be with us, Holy Spirit, in a move in the way that you need to. We ask this in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Good morning and happy Prophecy Sunday to you, the Sunday of Hope. We're glad you're here to worship with us. And would you please stand and let's sing about the joy that our Lord brought into the world. All together now.
Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive the King.
Through it now, would you spend some time around with those around you and welcome each other into the house of the Lord this morning? The Lord is so good to see his people love one another. And let's continue worshiping as we sing the second verse together. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns.
Oh, joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs implore. He rules the world with truth and grace and makes the nations from the glories of his righteousness, wonders of his love and wonders of his love.
Singing this morning.
Come thou long expected Jesus, born to set thy people free.
Oh, praise your Lord.
from our fears and sins, release us. Let us find our rest in Thee. Israel's strength and consolation, hope of all the earth Thou art. Dear desire from every nation, joy of every longing heart, born Thy people to kingdom bring by Thine own eternal Spirit, rule in all our hearts alone by Thine all sufficient merit. Raise us to Thy glorious throne.
Well, y'all are a good voice this morning. You may be seated. In case you don't know, First Baptist Glenville has a wonderful opportunity this month, through the month, the entire month of December, to collect funds and a special offering we call the Lottie Moon offering. You may not know the history behind of it, but it's one of our international missionary funds where every single dollar you give this month of December will go directly to the missions field. Nothing is taken away in administrative costs or away from the spreading of the gospel. Our church goal is $10,000. You've always been so generous in the past. I know that we will meet and exceed that budget this year in the power of the Lord, asking Him this month what you want and should give towards that. But in case you don't know the history or a little bit about those funds, what you'll give, where that money will go, we've got some videos this month to show you. Here's one about the Lottie Moon offering.
We hear it in the voices of the hurting. We sense it in the brokenness of the world.
We sense it in the brokenness of the world around us. Lostness is a blindness to the promise and hope of the gospel that leads to eternal separation from the Father. The world's greatest problem is lostness, and it's growing every day. 8 billion people, living in 195 countries, speaking over 7,000 languages. Today, more than half have yet to hear the good news of the gospel. The vision God gives us in Revelation 7:9, a multitude from every nation, all tribes, peoples, and languages, fuels our desire to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. But we must be willing to go further than we've ever gone before. To the very edges of lostness, where more than 3,000 people groups have no missionary presence and likely no access to the gospel. No one is engaging them. Together, we can change that. We know the love and hope and peace of the gospel. We know the way, the truth, and the life. We know the power of true redemption. We will not ignore lostness. We will not be silent. We will not stand still. From the Great Commission until the great multitude, we must unite in this great pursuit to reach every nation, no matter the cost.
A woman and an angel promise and a song, a word too grand for any mind to hold. A tax law and a journey, a stable and some straw. These tell the greatest story ever told. Oh, sing glory in the highest. He is come, our great Messiah. Come bow before this awesome mystery. Mighty God and fragile baby, here a lowly manger holds, and it's still the greatest story ever told. Amen. A hillside and some shepherds, a blaze of blinding light, angels singing carols in the cold. Eternal revelation to men as dull as stone, the glorious greatest story ever told. Oh, sing glory in the highest. He is come, our great Messiah. Come bow before this awesome mystery. Mighty God and fragile baby, here a lowly manger holds, and it's still the greatest story ever told. Oh, sing glory in the highest. He is come, our great Messiah. Come bow before this awesome mystery. Mighty God and fragile baby, here a lowly manger holds, and it's still the greatest story ever told. And it's still the greatest story ever told.
Praise the Lord. I love singing with my dear wife, and we're going to continue worshiping together now. If you would, stand once again and let's sing this beautiful Christmas carol that tells the whole story from beginning to end of our Savior's birth. The first Noel.
The first Noel, the angel did say, was to certain poor shepherds in fields as they lay, in fields where they lay keeping their sheep on a cold winter's night that was so deep. Noel, 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 born is the King of Israel, and by the light of that same star, for a king was their intent, and to follow the star. with his blood, mankind hath bought Noel. Born is the King of Israel.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come to your house and worship. We thank you most of all for sending your son Jesus, our Savior, to save us from our sins. We pray that if there are any in this gathering this morning that have never accepted Jesus, that today will be the day, Father. We pray that you'll take these tithes and offerings and help us to spread the precious word of Jesus around the world. Forgive us where we've failed you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
so glad to have you here this morning. Go ahead and open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. We are starting a new book study, praise God, here in Matthew as we sort of begin this Advent season, begin this time of really awaiting the arrival of the Savior of the world. Now see, when I was growing up, there was something I looked forward to every year. Any guesses what it is? It's not that hard. It's Christmas. Christmas. Every year I looked forward to Christmas. Every year I couldn't wait to see, what am I going to get? It was never about what I could give. It was always about what I could get, right? Parents, praise God for you. You didn't get a whole lot of credit for anything. And we'll just kind of leave it there. Even to this day, I find myself thanking my mom for things I never thanked her for as a child. You've heard me talk about the parrot I got when I was little, Scotty Too Hottie. But there was other gifts I got for Christmas, too. I got a bicycle one year that I used for a month and then never used again. And I got a parrot that I liked for a month and then didn't like him anymore. And I would get candy that I would eat, but then I'd get a tummy ache and then I wouldn't eat it anymore. I'd get a cavity and I would say, no, it's better off not having that. Or I'd get underwear, of course, and I would say, great, Mom, thank you for this underwear. Santa never got me underwear. My mom always did. But as I got older, I began to learn to appreciate the gifts, right? I mean, as you get older, I mean, you're basically begging your parents to buy you underwear and socks, right? I mean, I couldn't tell you how grateful I'd be if my mom were to buy me, like, a pair of jeans or socks or underwear or, you know, my expectations for Christmas sort of changed. Right, my expectations sort of shifted at some point in my life, and I couldn't tell you when, but it stopped becoming, oh man, I can't wait to get something this year. You know what happened? I got a job, and when I wanted something, I started buying it. And so now, all of a sudden, Christmas didn't hold this same expectation. It's not like as we get into December, I look at everything around me, and I go, wow, it's magical. It's pretty, sure, but I know come Christmas morning, the focus is not going to be on me opening gifts. The focus is going to be on other people opening gifts, younger people, right? Even last Christmas, my son was only 3 months old, and still we're watching him try to rip apart this wrapping paper. And it's this magical moment. My focus had shifted. Now, I want to take you back a couple thousand years. There has been expectation and longing for the Savior of the world to come. No, they didn't have Christmas, but they did have expectation. They didn't have December 25th, so to speak, but there was anticipation of a day that was coming when the Savior of the world would be born. And here's where we find ourselves in Matthew chapter 1. Now, if you have looked ahead, if you're familiar with Matthew chapter 1, you're going to say something like, oh no, we have a message through a genealogy today? Here's what I want to say. If you don't know what a genealogy is, it's basically a family tree. You know, since it's Christmas, we'll call it a family Christmas tree, okay? And in this family Christmas tree, we are going to see very important people. And what you need to know is that all of Scripture is God-breathed. All of Scripture is profitable, and all of Scripture was given to us for purpose. And today, we're going to dig into the purpose of why does it matter that so-and-so begot so-and-so, and so-and-so begot so-and-so, and so-and-so begot so-and-so. If you don't know what begot means, it means you grew up reading a different translation. That's okay. So we're going to read Matthew chapter 1, verses 1 through 17, and then we're going to go back and dig a little deeper into this passage. So here it is, beginning in verse 1. An account of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham fathered Isaac. Isaac fathered Jacob. Jacob fathered Judah and his brothers. Judah fathered Perez and Zerah by Tamar. Perez fathered Hezron. Hezron fathered Aram. Aram fathered Amminadab. Amminadab fathered Nahshon. Nahshon fathered Salmon. Salmon fathered Boaz by Rahab. Boaz fathered Obed by Ruth, and Obed fathered Jesse, and Jesse fathered King David. David fathered Solomon by Uriah's wife. Solomon fathered Rehoboam, and Rehoboam fathered Abijah, and Abijah fathered Asa. Asa fathered Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat fathered Joram, and Joram fathered Uzziah. Uzziah fathered Jotham, and Jotham fathered Ahaz. Ahaz fathered Hezekiah. Hezekiah fathered Manasseh, and Manasseh fathered Amon. Amon fathered Josiah. And Josiah fathered Jeconiah and his brothers at the time of the exile to Babylon. We're not done with the names yet, so y'all better be following along closely. After the exile to Babylon, Jeconiah fathered Shealtiel, and Shealtiel fathered Zerubbabel, and Zerubbabel fathered Abiud, and Abiud fathered Eliakim, and Eliakim fathered Azor. Azor fathered Zadok, Zadok fathered Akim, and Akim fathered Eliud. Eliud fathered Eleazar, and Eleazar fathered Mathan, and Mathan fathered Jacob. And Jacob fathered Joseph, the husband of Mary, who gave birth to Jesus, who is called the Messiah. So all the generations from Abraham to David were 14 generations. And from David until the exile to Babylon, 14 generations. And from the exile to Babylon until the Messiah, 14 generations. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for breath. Thank you for breath that somehow is able to say these names you've given these people. Lord, I just pray this morning as we have heard your word and as we look through this genealogy, these beginnings of the Gospel of Matthew, Lord, I pray that you would press into our hearts the importance of these people and the roles they played. I pray that you would help us be understanding that, God, you in the midst of chaos and you in the midst of all these different things happening in the world, had a plan. You had a plan from the very beginning, this plan that you would love us so much that one day through this family that we just read through, you would send your son, Jesus Christ, to be the ultimate sacrifice for us so that we may have eternal life with you. So, Father, whatever you have to do, whatever you have to say, please, Lord, have your way. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now listen, typically what would happen is we would read through those verses again. I don't think that's happening this morning. I don't know that I got it in me. That's a lot of names. If you questioned, I'm not sure he said that right. You're probably right. I don't know. We try. Here's point number one today. If you're taking notes, I hope you are. Point number one is this. It's found in verse one. Jesus Christ, son of David, son of Abraham. Jesus Christ, son of David, son of Abraham. What's the significance of these three things? Well, they are titles. We have to remember that Christ was not Jesus' last name. Christ is a title. So what does Christ mean? Let's begin there. Christ means anointed one. It holds the same meaning as Messiah, Savior, Christ. It's all the same concept. And here's what it means. It means that there is this long-awaited expectation that this Jesus who is called the Christ is going to be the one to save Israel, specifically Israel, from all of her enemies. And she will conquer all of Israel's enemies and destroy them and uplift Israel above all. Now, let's talk about Jesus. When Jesus came, and we're getting ahead of ourselves a little bit. Over the next year, we're going to be digging into the entire book of Matthew, and we're going to see all the miraculous things Jesus did and all the ministry Jesus did and all the things that were fulfilling expectations but also replacing expectations. And so here's what we see. Jesus, who is called the Christ, fulfilled all the messianic expectations that he was required to, but he also superseded them. Jesus was so much more than we ever expected him to be. In fact, Jesus was not only looking out for the rise of Israel, but actually the rise of the entire world. And the way that he would do this is through his nation, through Israel, the Messiah would come, Jesus Christ. And this goes back all the way to Abraham, which we'll talk about in a minute. but this expectation that the Savior of the world is going to be a blessing to all nations. This is all fulfillment of the Abrahamic covenant, which we'll get to in a moment. Jesus was a suffering servant. If you're taking notes, I want you to write that down. If you're not taking notes, I want you to write that down. Suffering servant. Suffering servant. In Isaiah, we are witness to different passages called servant songs. They're titled servant songs because they are expectations of Jesus. We don't know his name is Jesus yet in Isaiah, but they're expectations of Jesus, and they're expectations, that this Savior is actually going to be a servant, not a conquering king, okay? So Jesus Christ is a suffering servant. He's going to suffer on behalf of his people. He's going to serve his people. And everyone's expecting him. You remember point two, it's Son of David. Everyone's expecting him to be this Davidic king, a son of David. What was David known for? Well, David was known for a lot of things. But he was a man after God's own heart. He conquered other nations. During his reign as king, things were good for the nation. They used to sing songs about King David, right? They would sing songs about Saul. Saul has killed hundreds of hundreds, but King David has killed thousands of thousands. This idea that if we are conquering our enemies, we are conquering our neighbors, that's obviously a better king than one who's not conquering neighbors, right? Jesus is going to flip this on its head. And Jesus is, instead of destroying his enemies, he's going to invite his enemies in to sit at his table. That these nations who were once enemies of God have the choice, have the option to turn from their sins and trust in him and be welcomed into the family of God. No longer facing condemnation, no longer facing God's wrath, no longer being an enemy of God and of Israel, but being one with them. It's open. It's open to the nations. And so this suffering servant, instead of being the Davidic king, which, by the way, Jesus is still the Davidic king. He is still reigning, and he's still conquering hearts. It's just not how we expect him to. Instead of knocking people down with a spear, he let the spear pierce his side for our transgressions and our sins. He has done what it took and what all it would take so that others may come in and believe and accept and be a part of this promise that was made all the way back in Genesis to Abraham. This is the third part of the title we see here. So we have Jesus Christ, Son of David, Son of Abraham. Back in Genesis, a promise was given to Abraham by God. Initially, God said, Abram, go to the land that I will show you. Right? And there's this promise God makes with Abraham called the Abrahamic covenant or the Abrahamic promise. And here is the core of the Abrahamic covenant. That God will bless Abraham. He will give him descendants. His descendants will be as numerous as the stars. And that his descendants will be a blessing to all nations. Let's hone in on that last part. That through Abraham, his descendants are going to be a blessing to all nations. Back, let's say, sometime in the 2000s BC, we don't have full understanding that Jesus, God in the flesh, is going to come. Way back then, all we know is Abraham, through your lineage, the world will be blessed. And so let's look at verse 2. Abraham fathered Isaac, Isaac fathered Jacob, Jacob fathered Judah and his brothers. The list is going to continue. I told you we're not going to read through all this again. But the list is going to continue. And here is point two today. Boaz fathered Obed by Ruth. Boaz fathered Obed by Ruth. This is found in verse 5. Okay? Here's why I picked this one out specifically. One, I love the story of Ruth. The story of Ruth is incredible. By the way, if you're a man in here and you have never studied women of the Bible, take time, study women of the Bible. God used them and worked through them. And if they're named, it means they have significance in what God was doing. And what an incredible story Ruth has. You guys remember Ruth. Ruth was married, and her mother-in-law, her father-in-law and her husband both died. And she still remains loyal to Naomi. And through all of this story and through all these things that are going to happen, God is going to lead Ruth to Boaz. And Ruth is going to sleep at Boaz's feet. And in this process, God is drawing the hearts together of two people, which, by the way, in the story of our Savior's birth, think about what would have happened if Ruth had not been obedient to God's leading. Think about what would have happened if Ruth had not been loyal to Naomi and not gone. I mean, there are so many spots where if these people did not move exactly as they needed to, the redemption story looks totally different. So here's what I'm telling you in this point number two, that Boaz fathered Obed by Ruth. Here's the significance of this. The significance is that these people were faithful to God, and through their obedience to God, the Savior of the world would be born. Now listen, I don't want to get into hearsay here. Some people would say, God's plan is going to happen no matter what. God's plan is going to happen no matter what. I can't speak to that. I'm not God. All I know is that God desires obedience more than sacrifice. And thank God for the obedience of these people named. These names that we read over every Christmas thinking, what interesting names. Was that something we'd want to name our son? Is that something we want to name our daughter? Probably not, unless it's more normalized, right? And as we're reading through this list, you got to remember, these are people who lived lives just like you and I, and they are people who were trying to follow God with everything they had. And all of their temptations and all of their sin and all of their failure, and even in the midst of that, God's grace shone so greatly that they were able to be a part of the redemption story of all of humanity. I mean, wouldn't it, just think about this for a minute. Can you imagine if, I don't know what heaven's like in its entirety, right? But imagine that in heaven we are able to look down to earth and see what's happening. I don't know that that's not the case. I don't know that that is the case. That's not me making a claim. But imagine we are. And imagine you see your great-great-great-great-great-great-grandchild. And they're doing something amazing for the Lord. I mean, being faithful and obedient, sacrificing their lives for others. Wouldn't that just be the most incredible thing you could think of? It shifts the expectation from yourself to others. It's kind of like Christmas morning, how Christmas morning is no longer about me. It's about my son opening gifts, right? It's no longer about, oh, what am I going to get? It's about what others are going to get. There's a shift that happens when the Savior of the world comes, and it's no longer, what's in it for me? How am I going to benefit from this? What gift can I get from God? But for those of us who have received the good gift of God, which is faith in Jesus Christ and eternal life forevermore, that gift, though we are excited every day for this gift, that gift's no longer about us. That gift's no longer about us opening the gift of eternal life. We already have it. The gift is to be moved on for generations and generations and generations. Now imagine one day, it won't be in the Bible, the Bible's complete, but imagine one day it's written through your family lineage how God moved and worked and breathed. What a great, great story that would be. We're going to skip ahead to verse 12. Nah, we're going to skip ahead to verse 17. Here's what it says in verse 17. So all the generations from Abraham to David were 14 generations. And from David until the exile of Babylon, 14 generations. And from the exile to Babylon until the Messiah, 14 generations. Here's point number three today. 14 generations. I had a good conversation with Gary the other day in the hall. Gary, sorry that I'm talking about our conversation. But he was asking me about numbers in the Bible and why certain numbers come up all the time. 14 is not one we typically think of, right? I mean, here are the big numbers that we sort of think of all the time, right? 3, 7, maybe 6, if you're thinking a little in the negative sense, and 40, right? Those are numbers we're used to seeing all the time in Scripture. And here in this passage, what's really interesting is there's a specification given to 14 generations. Why? This is kind of complicated as you're reading through the names, but if you were to read through that genealogy, you're going to see who's in the 14th spot in the genealogy and who's in the 28th spot in the genealogy. It's David and Jesus. It's David and Jesus. Here's what's really interesting. 14, for whatever number, is a number God decided to have significance here. And here's what it shows. There is a claim being made by Matthew, and this is beautiful, beautiful writing, inspired by the Holy Spirit, that just like David is in this 14th spot, Jesus is in this 14th spot. There's a link. There's a link there. And it's that this Jesus we're telling the birth story of. Now imagine this, right? You're reading the book of Matthew with no prior knowledge of Jesus or Christianity or anything. And you're reading this story and you're reading this genealogy and you're going, that's interesting. That's interesting. Oh, I've heard stories about him. I know about him. I read that in this book. I read that in this book. And then you're introduced to Jesus. And you begin to notice a connection. 14, 14, 14, 14. The connection is this. Matthew is making a bold claim here that Jesus is the Davidic king we've been waiting for. There are doubts about it. There's doubts about Jesus' lineage to David, which is why Matthew is going to track the genealogy all the way back to Abraham, because Matthew wants to show that Jesus is a Jewish man, but he's God. The story we read in Luke and the other Gospels is going to track Jesus back to Adam because they want to show his humanity. But Matthew's goal is to say, do you remember that promise way back in Genesis made that the descendant of Abraham was going to be a blessing to all nations? Do you remember that? Let me show you the family Christmas tree here that shows you exactly who this fulfillment of the promise is. Jesus is the long-awaited king. Jesus is the one we've been waiting for. And Jesus, although he may not appear to be anything special in this moment, he's born as a baby, wrapped in cloth, in this little, in all of these things, Jesus is so much more than our words could ever do justice for. And you need to know that this Jesus, the one I'm about to tell you about in the Gospel of Matthew, the one Jesus I'm about to tell you about, this Jesus who is the Christ, this Jesus son of Abraham, this Jesus son of David, is the fulfillment of this promise made back in Genesis. And he is going to be a blessing to all nations. And how is he going to be a blessing to all nations? Did you know that God loved the world so much that he sent his only son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins so that we who believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life? Do you know that we, here in America, most of us are Gentiles, which means we are non-Jewish people. We have no family root back to Abraham. And yet we are not enemies of God if we believe in Jesus Christ. Do you understand how amazing that is? Do you understand how amazing it is that God very well could have wiped us off the face of the earth at any point, and instead of doing that, he put his wrath on his son so that we wouldn't bear it? Even more so, his son, Jesus Christ, this one we've been speaking of, this baby who came, this baby through the family tree that we saw. The grave and death could not hold him down. And he rose on the third day, and we who believe in him have risen to life with him. Here's what the Bible says. If you believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and confess with your mouth that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. All of us are enemies of God because of our sin. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and the wages of our sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ. This Jesus Christ we just read about, this Jesus Christ who we have all these expectations and we have all these thoughts and we're questioning ourselves and going, this Jesus guy is great, but is he really the Davidic king? Is he really the Messiah we want? Yes, he is. And so much more. Today, if you've questioned in your heart if you've believed in Jesus or not, let today be the day. No longer be an enemy of God, but be welcome to sit at his table. Jesus, the night he was betrayed, broke bread and said, "This is my body broken for you." I know you're not used to hearing this when we're not partaking in the Lord's Supper, but Jesus said, "This is my body broken for you." And he took the wine, and he said, "This is my blood spilled for you." Jesus knew exactly the mission that was set before him, and he went through it anyway. Do you know what that means? This means that this servant, Jesus, knew he was going to suffer for you. He knew he was going to love people who did not love him back, and he loved anyway. In a moment, we're going to have a time of invitation, and here's what I'm going to ask for you to do during this time. John and I are going to be up here. You can come pray with us. You can pray at your seat. Maybe you want to know more about this Jesus I've been talking about. We'd love to have that conversation with you. Maybe you see what our church is doing and you see how God is moving and you want to be a part of that and become a member. If any of those things stick out to you during this next song, that is your time to come up. And if this is something you want to talk about after the service, we'll make time for that too. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for your mercies that are new every single morning. Thank you for the ways that you care for us, God. Thank you for, God, the faithfulness of these servants that we read about. All these names that I tried to pronounce, God, you know all of their names, you know all of their hearts, and you know all of their struggles, and you used them. God, I pray that you would use us like that. I know we won't be part of Jesus' lineage in that sense. But God, we can be a part of welcoming brothers and sisters into the family of God as we share this good news of your Son, Jesus Christ, with them. Father, would you give us boldness? Would you give us grace? Give us the opportunities to share the love that you first shared to us. We love you because you first loved us. So Lord, as we have this time of invitation, I pray that your Holy Spirit would prompt the hearts of those who need to respond. And God, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Would you stand with us, please? Sing with us. Pastors are here to receive you. Come forward if you have a decision to make.
Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ. The Lord
will praise his name forever.
We'll praise his name forever. We'll praise his name forever. We'll praise his name forever. Christ, the Lord will give him all the glory. We'll give him all the glory. We'll give him all the glory. We'll give.
for being here this morning. Hope you'll join us tonight at 6 o'clock for our evening service. We have special plans for that. And if you ever need anything, please give us a call. We'd love to pray with you. Love to spend time with you. John, would you close us in prayer?
We love the church. Let's pray. Father, you're good. Lord, we pray that you have been made so great today. God, that we have come and set this day apart to remember you. God, would you just help us this afternoon to rest in you? God, to just set our minds and our hearts, to remind ourselves of our need for you. God, we thank you so much that we can trace this genealogy we've read today, and it covers the sum of Scripture. God, you're so trustworthy, and God, you have vindicated what was tried in the garden, which was that you weren't a trustworthy God. And God, you have proven yourself to be faithful. So help us to be faithful in light of that. In Jesus' name, amen. See you later, church.